Good morning, everybody. Talk Radio 930 WTAD, the Mary Griffith Show, underway, powered by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. Enjoy Harvest Ridge at home or at your office, or get a cup when you're out and about. Harvest Ridge Coffee, served at many restaurants and at many fine convenience stores. Today we have representatives from the Art Center in Quincy at 1515 Jersey. Sandra Height is the new executive director. We got to kind of meet her formally last month. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
Glad to have you back. And Libby Campbell is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Libby, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement with the Arts Council, please.
Absolutely. I've been with the Quincy Arts Center for just about a year. I'm the marketing director, and I am so excited to be working with this team. We have a wonderful team.
You have an easy job because there's nothing bad about what you're trying to sell.
Not really.
At the Art Center at 1515 Jersey, that is for sure. Well, one of the things that everybody looks forward to every year and for many years, the Mary S. Oakley and Lee Lindsay Area Artist Showcase.
Yeah.
And right now you're accepting applications, would be the way to put it. This is a juried competition?
It is. Artwork drop-off starts on Wednesday. So we have a prospectus on our website where people can look at all of the requirements for sizing their artwork, hanging their artwork, how many pieces they can enter. They can download that, check out the requirements, and then start bringing their pieces to the Art Center on Wednesday.
Is there a cost?
Yes, it's $15 per piece of artwork if you are not a member of the Art Center. If you are a member, it's $10 per piece.
So it's a juried competition. Not every piece will be accepted.
That's right. We usually get upwards of 200 entries, and the juror will often select it down to between 80 and 100.
Okay. So it's very competitive.
Yes.
It is judged by someone from out of our area,
an expert
in the field. Tell us about the expert, please.
Absolutely. Her name is Jane B. Mudd, and she's a professor of art at University of Missouri Columbia.
Okay, even though she's from Mizzou, we think she has some talent. Okay, we'll put that in there. Thank you very much. So Jane Mudd, who has no understanding of who these people are, so it's absolutely fair.
That's right.
But it's so funny because art is so subjective.
That's right.
I mean, I always love it when they say, well, this was the best in show. Okay, not in my opinion, but that's okay. That's what art does for people. And guess what? Jane Mudd gets to decide the best in show, but we all get to decide what our best in show is because we can come to this gallery exhibit. It's on for a long time.
Yes, it is. It's up until January, so we have plenty of time for people to come and enjoy the exhibit. And it's funny you talk about how subjective art is. We are having a speaker at a member event on Friday, Jennifer Bach-Nelson, who's going to be coming to talk about that exact experience. She put a piece in Mary S. Oakley that was not accepted into the show. And then the next year, put in the same piece, and it won an award.
That is fabulous.
It is.
Well, you know, it just goes to show, because if I saw the name Jennifer Bach-Nelson, I would say, oh, must be great art, whether I thought it was great art or not, but I do think her art's great. But I'd be like, oh, she's great. I mean, she's got gravitas and soul things, so she's great. But you're right. It's funny. What a blow to the ego.
You never know.
Oh, my God. Well, she survived and came back to be a winner. Okay. So, you know, what did that judge know that year? So, anyway, if you want to put a work in, there's no guarantee you'll be accepted, but it certainly is a pretty easy lift, $15, and you might be the best in show. And the great thing about it is, on Friday, November 22nd at 7 o'clock, there will be a kind of awards ceremony start. There'll be an open house. Of course, you can come by and see the works anytime once they're up and all the way through January. But if you want to kind of come and be part of the social crowd and get to see who wins at 7:30, that's free and open to the public. And, of course, it's through January 4th. When will the actual show exhibit start? It ends on January 4th. When can we go see it?
Starting the next Saturday, November 23rd.
Okay.
We open at 11 a.m.
Okay, so November 22nd through January 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it takes you that long to get him juried, hung up, everything. So, and it's interesting. Now, who decides who gets hung where?
That would...
Yeah.
Well, is that you, Sandra?
No, no, it is not. They won't let me do that. That takes more expertise than I have. So Elizabeth Swick is our interim curator.
Okay.
And she has done this or helped do this for many years. So she's a pro at it.
Okay. Well, it's going to be exciting to see who wins the Mary S. Oakley and Lee Lindsay Area Artist Award. And you can come out on November 22nd. At 7 p.m. and see all the artwork and be part of that social hour. And then all the way from November 23rd through January 4th, it'll be up. So if your folks are visiting over the holidays, stop by 1515 Jersey. And what are the hours of the gallery being open?
Yeah, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday.
Okay, lots of time to go see it. What else is happening at the Quincy Arts Center?
Well, we're pretty excited to share our event, Miracle on Main Street. That's on December 7th, 4 to 8 p.m. And that is a partnership between the Arts Center, Lorenzo Bullhouse, and the Quincy Museum. And each of us will have something magical and festive to usher in the season. At the Art Center, we're making ornaments. I think they're going to be beautiful keepsakes to hang on your trees. Next door to us at Lorenzo Bullhouse, Chris Kringle will be making a visit. And they will also have refreshments. So all kinds of warm and cozy drinks and cookies and treats will be there. And then if you cross the street, and we do have a special crossing the street guard to help people because it'll be dark.
Rudolph's red nose may be helping people cross. That's very good.
When you cross the street, there will be music throughout those 4 hours at the Quincy Museum. So we have a variety of local groups, local artists, and musicians, performers for the duration of the evening.
And the date of this again?
This is December 7th. From 4 to 8.
Is that a Saturday?
That is a Saturday.
Okay, 4 to 8. Is there a cost?
There is. It's $10 for adults, 5 for children 12 and under, and free for 2 and under. And we also have a wreath raffle if people would like to donate some money by buying a ticket. They will get one of the 3 wreaths that we're having made by, again, local talented people. They're as large as 36 inches and as small as 16 inches. So whatever the size of your door, we'll have a wreath. And those will be on display at the Art Center. And you can buy raffle tickets. And we'll be doing a drawing on the day. And then we are in the countdown for the carriage and horse rides that we will be having, leaving from the Art Center, going down Park Place, and just having kind of an atmospheric ride during the evening. So those tickets are separate, and those will be going on sale soon.
Okay. They are going on sale very soon. It's exciting. There are only 24 spots.
I was going to say, that's yes. Not something that there's going to be a lot of spots.
That's
but
right.
That is a unique carriage ride Saturday, December 7th. So just one more thing that you can be part of. Thank you so much to Sandra Height and Libby Campbell for stopping by. We will continue to hear from the Arts Center at 1515 Jersey. And y'all get out and support what they do because you would just be amazed. I was just out of John Wood. The stuff those students are doing, not only their artwork for the visual arts, but they had a printed form for their poetry, nonfiction, and fiction. Just wonderful art being created in our community. So let's support all the artists in our community. And if you've got a piece of art, now, again, I keep saying Polar Bear in a Blizzard is my favorite art. Here is a facsimile of what it looks like. But I don't want to take first place and rob it from somebody else.
That's so kind of you.
Maybe I'll submit it. Maybe I won't. We'll just see. Okay? We'll be back to talk about Cornerstone and your mental health in just a moment. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Trina Vogel is here with Cornerstone
Every month, Cornerstone has been so gracious to provide free of charge to the Mary Griffith Show a professional to come in and talk about mental health. Now, I knew the topic, you know, 4 weeks ago or last week, but can I remember it now? No. So what are you going to talk about today, Trina Vogel? It'll be a surprise to me, even though I'm supposed to know it. Everything when you're advanced age like I am is a surprise at all times.
Sure. Well, November is Adoption Awareness or Adoption Celebration Month.
Yay!
And so we wanted to talk about our program, our ASAP program, which stands for Adoption Support and Preservation.
That sounds fantastic. We need all the help we can get for parents who make the decision that they want to adopt a child. Maybe they cannot biologically have their own child. Maybe their heart is so full of love that they decide there's room in their family for one more. Or maybe they want to take on a couple of children that are biological siblings that they don't want separated. So how does Cornerstone work with these families? Do you start before the adoption process? I mean, kind of walk us through all the support that you have for adoptive families.
Sure. So this program is actually a contract with the state of Illinois. So Illinois provides our funding to provide these services to families formed by adoption. And this can be through the child welfare system, a private adoption, or international adoption. Our role is after that adoption finalization date. So I think as professionals in the field of child welfare, we've kind of historically thought that our job was done once that adoption decree was signed and all the pictures with the judge and all of those fun, wonderful memories. But what we do know is that these families need ongoing support beyond that day. And so the state has designated funding for us to be able to work with families post-adoption. So to qualify for our program, it has to be after that adoption date. We have families who call us the next day and just say, hey, we just want to make sure we're off to a right start. We want this more of like preventative. We want to work on attachment. Help me explain this to my kiddo, what adoption means. What does it mean? What do I tell them about their birth family? That's probably one of the biggest topics that we hear.
When do you tell? What do you tell? How do you tell?
Yes, and research would say that we are forthcoming from day one. That
I may, they're adopted, but maybe correct. Not that dad's a convicted murderer and mom's a cocaine addict.
So, correct. We wouldn't age appropriateness, right?
Age appropriateness. Yeah.
However, we.
Hey, I could be. Hey, Drew, hire me. I could be a therapist at Cornerstone. I already know that.
Good. Set healthy boundaries. Yep. Oh, Mary, I lost my train of thought.
Well, but I mean, you have to tell them. You have to decide to tell them they're adopted and what's age appropriate for that, because my goddaughter's adopted, and she always says, I grew in mommy's heart. I didn't grow in her tummy.
Yeah,
because she was adopted at birth.
Yeah.
So she never knew any other life but being with her mother and father, but she also knew that her mother didn't bear her.
Correct.
So, and that
correct.
Was, you know, then later on, other details came out. But
yep.
I was born in mommy's heart, but not from her tummy.
Yes, you got it. Yep, that's a very common theme for those who are adopted at birth. Absolutely. And then I think it becomes even more challenging when a child was spent their initial maybe 5 years, even 10 years with a family, and then not having contact or trying to understand that whole process. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of grief and trauma associated with that. So research suggests that we talk about the A word, which is adoption. And I joke about that with families that, hey, we're going to use the A word in here and we're going to talk about it a lot. We want to normalize it. We want parents to be comfortable talking about adoption, talking about birth family, really to meet the needs of the kiddo.
In the olden days, they didn't tell kids they were adopted.
That's correct.
Now it's very common, and mental health specialists say you should tell your child you're adopted. Again,
absolutely.
The details can go across depending on how old they are. But let's talk a little bit about the support for families, because if we're going to get more children out of foster care and into a permanent placement, we're going to have more families that want to step up and take on the challenge. Any child is challenging. Just giving birth to children is challenging.
Yes.
But accepting one maybe at the age of 3, at the age of 6, at the age of 12. I know my friends adopted, they got their daughter when she was 12.
Yeah.
You know, could you pick a worse time? Let's get a teenager. But through help, they were able to navigate that. That's where Cornerstone comes in, because you're going to get extra special help from the state of Illinois if you adopt to deal with some particular issues. Some are dealing with adoption issues. Others, it's just, it's a teenager. So that issue will be whether they're your birth child or your adopted child. Teenagers have issues.
Absolutely, yes. And Illinois is one of very few states that offer these services after post-adoption. So what we are able to offer is, a family comes in and meets with us. We can provide parent support in the form of really just supporting them in their mental health, their self-care, really empowering them to be able to help them through this challenge that they're facing. So it can be individual therapy with the kiddo, parent sessions, supporting them. We do family sessions. And this program also is, families sometimes choose to come into the office, but we can also go into their home. And so we can be right there with them in their everyday life and handle.
And see what's exactly happening.
Yes.
Yeah, when they want to hold their breath till they turn blue, what's the best, you know? See, I never could do that because I couldn't stop talking or to hold my breath till I turned blue. But every child presents a challenge. And
absolutely.
Really, adoptive kids don't have to be any more challenging. But it may be different because, especially if you adopt after already having your own biological kids, you think, well, I've got this figured out. I know exactly what a 7-year-old boy does.
Yeah.
No, and you don't. Because now you've got a different 7-year-old boy.
Correct. Yes. And adoptive parents, when they come to us, I do hear that. Like, I feel like I'm failing. Like, they're willing to be that vulnerable with me. And it's not that they're failing. It's that, you know, kiddos who have early childhood trauma, we know their brain forms differently. And they do have different challenges. And I mean, if you think of us as adults, when we have to grieve someone that we love, and how does this little kiddo try, you know, make sense of grieving and loss? And what do you mean? But mom and dad, I know where they are. I know where their house is. Why can I not go there? So we kind of just come around the whole family unit and provide individual family and parent support sessions for them.
Is there a charge for this?
There is no charge to or cost to the family whatsoever.
So obviously you can't take every single person. So how
Correct.
Do you decide who gets these services?
So there has been a time where we have been able to, a family calls and we're able to see them relatively quickly. There's also other times where if a family calls and they are placed on a wait list, during that time they have regular monthly contact with me. So I am calling them once a month, seeing if there's any immediate needs that we can help with, if there's other referrals that we can make within our own community, if there's anything that... you know, cash assistance or some respite support that we can help with. So we work from a triage model. So we kind of assess what's the issues, how can we best be of service. And I have to just really brag on our staff here. I mean, all of our clinicians who work in this program have on average 10 years experience working in trauma and grief and working in mental health and with families. And you don't have that everywhere.
Well, and parents, you know, we don't have a guidebook on how to be a parent. And after that much experience with that many different kinds of children, you can get some good, solid counsel and advice from Cornerstone. So the best thing to do is, if you're in the process of adopting, get connected with Cornerstone and say, we think the finalization is going to be here. We'd like to apply for this program and be put into the program. You're not eligible until after the adoption is finalized, but a lot of people know a couple of months in advance when that final adoption date will be. So
yeah, that's
they
very
can
true.
Certainly call and get in the queue to make sure they get services. And how do we get in touch with Cornerstone?
Sure. You call us at 217-222-8254.
Okay. Before we let him go, Drew Quintero, is there anything you want to talk about for fundraising or marketing or anything for Cornerstone?
We just had our first Dancing with Local Stars kickoff meeting last night. We have a great group of dancers lined up, and I can't wait to come back next month in November to share all the fun details with you, Mary.
Okay. Dancing with the Stars. Participants will be revealed. Tell us when the show is so we can make it on.
All right. Put on your calendar. Friday, February 7th, 2025. Cornerstones. Dancing with Local Stars will return to the ambiance with a fun theme this year that we're excited to tease out a little. You know, get your popcorn ready. Get your favorite candy snacks for a great night.
It should be a movie night, I think.
We'll have to see, Mary.
If either I'm the smartest person in the world or I'm so dumb, I missed it completely. Thank you very much to Drew Quintero. Thank you, Trina Vogel, for all you do for children in our community and parents, too. We appreciate Cornerstone. 9:41, still to come. We'll talk about the Alzheimer's Association. But first, let's head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative and hear the Farm Market Report brought to you by Rex Battery and Pioneer. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Another full house on this triple header. Mike Drew is here. I knew I'd do it. Friends with his mom and dad for all those years, and Jim has passed now. But Mike Drew, his son, is here to talk about something that impacted their whole family, and that is Alzheimer's disease. And we're also joined by Caitlin Baker. And get right up to that microphone, Caitlin. And we're going to talk about the Alzheimer's Associated United for Care Community Conversation and Expo on Dementia Education and Caregiver Support. Whew, I need a break after that.
Say that 10 times fast.
It's Wednesday, November 13th. They're on to give you plenty of notice. Dinner will be served. Respite care is available if you're caring for someone with dementia by home instead. So you can come to this, learn all about it, and your person will be well cared for from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Quincy Senior Center. So let's start out with you, Caitlin Baker. Talk about why the Alzheimer's Association is having this event on Wednesday, November 13th from 5:30 to 7:30. Who should come and what will they learn?
Sure. Anybody who has an interest to learn about Alzheimer's or dementia in general, has been affected, is a caregiver, really anybody in the community is welcome to come. It's a free event as well. And we're just here to educate and support the community. And we have an amazing planning committee who's been working hard to really bring all the resources that are here. And that's why we're excited for this event. And it's the first one that we've had here in a while. We're excited for it to really kick off. And then hopefully this will become an annual thing and we can really bring this forward within the community.
Okay. Well, of course, COVID kind of did a lot for we were doing, having even monthly support meetings. Mike Drew is here, and Mike, I'll let you share however much of your personal story you want to share. But first, before we get to that, you have a new job. We used to talk to you as the director of the West Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging, the Senior Center. But you have moved into a new job in a new capacity, so here's a free plug.
Well,
tell us all about it.
Sure. Well, it's very well related to this. My dad did have Parkinson's. You mentioned my dad and called me in. In fact, we just had his memorial service Saturday, so it's still kind of fresh. But the great thing about what my dad went through with Parkinson's, it is a form of dementia that will be discussed during this, and those are the people we're trying to help and care for as well. The nice thing was that we were able to have caregivers in the home. We had dad in the home the entire 10 months, the last 10 months of his life, and had caregivers from home instead that took care of him. So that was a major reason why I made this change.
You saw how helpful it was, and you wanted to be that hands-on
yes,
help to others. I applaud that.
You're right, and Quincy didn't have a lot of options for personal care, one-on-one care for private pay individuals. Home Instead has been around 20 years. There's many different, it's a franchise, so there's many different franchises in different parts of the country, even across the pond. But they've been based in Jacksonville and have expanded over this way now, and I'm happy to join them.
Well, that is fantastic. And you saw firsthand that not everybody can afford to have in-care home support. Some people cannot. Some people can't afford to go to a nursing home and have that level of support. In fact, my dad had Parkinson's, And, you know, it takes a lot for a caregiver, and Alzheimer's can be very difficult for caregivers because you still love your mom and dad, and sometimes they don't even know who you are. Sometimes they're not afraid of you, but you're a stranger that comes every time they meet you. It's meeting you for the first time.
Yeah.
And that is emotionally devastating to a child or a spouse.
Yes.
And so talk about this United for Care. The fact that you're having care there so that if somebody wants to bring somebody with dementia from 5:30 to 7:30, they will be well sheltered at the senior center. They'll have activities for them. They'll be cared for. They'll be with other people. They'll be, you know, socialized if that's what they want. You cannot say what Alzheimer's does to a person because it's as individual as...
Correct.
Just like Parkinson's. If you know one person with Parkinson's, you know one person with Parkinson's. So first of all, how big a problem is this in our area? Do we know how many people in Quincy or Adams County are diagnosed with Alzheimer's or some form of dementia?
It's growing yearly. So it is considered a public health situation across Illinois and across the nation. So that's why we're having these events and these specialized opportunities is just because it continues to grow. We're hearing about it more. Caregivers are needing to know what to do. Where do they start? How does the process work? And that's what we're here as an association is to bring the community resources together, but then also host events like this so people can really learn. We have a keynote speaker, Dr. Mopaways, coming to discuss kind of conversations of Alzheimer's and dementia and just how to approach things as, you know, a loved one who's seeing this happen to another loved one. So really just to, you know, answer questions, go through the process. And having on-site care is an amazing opportunity because sometimes we don't always have the opportunity to leave, you know, our loved one. And, you know, in the evening, sometimes we're having to figure out what to do. So being able to bring that individual and they're safe and taken care of and they're right there and they're going to have wonderful activities and meet great people is hopefully a breath of fresh air for those people coming.
Even more than the great keynote speaker and the advice that's being given out there, probably just maybe meeting somebody so that you can share the burden. You know, your friends, you have friends for a reason and friends for a season and friends for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you may need a new friend for the season, and the reason is that my best friend doesn't have any idea what I'm going through because she's never had to go through it. So this person may be brand new in my life, but for the next 12 months, we're going to have much more in common than somebody I've known since grade school. And so part of it is getting together with support groups. And are there good support groups for Alzheimer's?
Well, there's some great support groups. And one reason we're having at the Senior Center is there is great support for caregivers. They have a caregiver support program. I know they're in a transition right now, but they still have the resources there. There is a caregiver support group that's meeting there every other week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great opportunity to learn about things like that at this as well.
Mm-hmm. Mike Drew, did you know that home health care was available? How did you, just take us through the journey your family had to kind of, we're having trouble to what is available? You were a pretty smart guy. I mean, you were kind of involved in the senior community, so you may not be the best one to ask, but I mean, you probably still found out, I don't know what I need to know to take care of my dad.
Yeah, we were lucky to know. I mean, I was lucky to know a lot of things, but my mom was his main caregiver through all the years. He suffered with Parkinson's for 14 years. It wasn't until this last year and a half or so that really it was getting to be too much for her. She wasn't able to help him transfer and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we really needed that extra help. And I knew there wasn't wonderful options necessarily. I know the caregiver organizations that are here now are kind of overloaded. So that's why I was happy to have Home Instead head over this way. I know there's other organizations now as well, so there are some more options. And again, that's where the support of the caregiver support group and caregiver specialist at the Senior Center is a great resource.
Mm-hmm.
They can help you find all these different things. Also with transportation, there's transportation options. There's different programs. Meals on Wheels is a great way to relieve some of those pressures as a caregiver, not have to worry about shopping for those meals, time to cook the meal. You know, it just takes that time away, and you have more time to do other things that it's very hard to find to do when you're trying to take care of someone. A lot of other things in the house kind of get set aside. So that's
financially, this can be a burden. I mean, there's all different levels. There's my family's going to have to go it alone because we can't afford any outside help. Hopefully you have eight brothers and sisters and they all live in town, if that's your option. Or my family's going to be able to afford some outside care, but it may only be for a few hours a day. Or my family's going to be able to afford more outside care. Or I'm going to have to put them in a residential living facility, which can be extraordinarily expensive. I guess one of the things that you talk about with caregiver support is there insurance for this? Is there anything that pays for this?
It depends on what they've planned for. And that's part of the problem, I think, I've seen when I was at the senior center with the Area Agency on Aging was people aren't thinking about this ahead far enough. So I was lucky in my case. My parents did think far ahead. They had a long-term care policy, and it was, you know, people think of that as nursing home payments, but it did pay for in-home care.
Which is much less expensive than nursing home. So, of course, insurance companies would love to do that. And it probably made your mother more comfortable because, again, she's the loving support that Jim needed. I mean, they've been together for all those years. So I know one thing. My dad had to go to the nursing home just for 3 weeks, and then he was released back to home. And it was so interesting because after 3 weeks, my mother kind of got her act together, got herself reinvigorated, was 20 years younger, you know, that she didn't have to 24/7. And she said, I'm ready because I want him home where he belongs. Mm-hmm. And he loved the nursing home, and they got great care there, but it was nice that we were able to have in-home services. So there's just a lot of options out there, but people don't know the options. So come on November 13th. You need an RSVP because there's a meal that's being served. Is there a cost to go to this?
No cost.
Okay, but you're getting a dinner, so please
call.
How do we register?
So you can go to alz.org as well, or you can email me directly, which is krbaker@alz.org. And we'll get you registered and taken care of. And we look forward to seeing everybody.
Wednesday, November 13th, Quincy Senior and Family Resource Center, 639 York. Dinner will be served. You may bring your Alzheimer's patient with you. Again, they need to know that you're bringing them because there will be a daycare for them, a place for them to be cared for and supervised while you are soaking up all this information and meeting all these different people that may become your new best friends and learning from Home Instead and other agencies, what is available out there that can fit your budget, fit your needs. And again, it might be just something for somebody to come to just to find out, if this happens to me, what would happen?
Yeah, it's that what if, and we want to have people ready for it.
Okay, be ready for the what if. Thank you so much, Mike Drew. Congratulations on your new job.
Thank you, Mary.
I can't think of anybody more caring and kind to do that and give your best to the family, please.
I will.
And thank you very much
for
coming and for all the work you do for Alzheimer's.
Appreciate it.
That does it for us today. We'll be back again tomorrow to do it all again on the Mary Griffith Show, brought to you each and every weekday morning, 9:15 to 10, by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee.